Mark chapter 6 and verse 52. Mark chapter 6 and verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to preach. Thank you for your word and how it guides us. It teaches us. It reproves us. And Father, it helps us to find you and to find joy. So Lord, please illuminate our hearts to see what you have for us in this verse. And Father, if we unwittingly have hardened our hearts, show us tonight, Lord, and help us to be people of tender hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In our text tonight, the disciples have just witnessed God do the impossible. They have seen God do what is absolutely supernatural and what cannot be explained in the natural. In fact, it could very well be the greatest event ever to happen in human history. This parable is one of the few parables that is compared in all four of the Gospels. This one miracle is mentioned over and over and over. It is absolutely supernatural. And the disciples, they get to see it and they get to be part of it. But the Bible says, and we see from the record, that they're shockingly silent. In fact, it almost seems that they don't even care that the miracle happened. They don't even care that God worked. They don't even care that God blessed. They can't see it, and they don't care. And even though they're in the midst of God working, and they're in the midst of God's blessing, they're not apart. And I look at this text and I say, how can they not see it? It's right in front of their eyes. How can they harden their hearts in the face of such amazing working of God? But the truth is, hardened hearts are all too common. Hardened hearts are simply hearts that have reached a point where they don't need God, they're not looking for God, and when God works, they're not listening. And can I say, if we're not careful, we'll be just like the disciples. If we're not careful, we too will have hardened hearts. So I asked myself, first of all, let's consider, what is the cause of hardened hearts? What is the cause of hardened hearts? What is it that makes people's hearts hardened to God and to God's work? And first of all, notice, it is simply often past spiritual experiences. Past spiritual experiences. Having God worked in your past. Notice, study the expressions of hard hearts in Scripture, and you will just discover that hard hearts almost always correspond with God working in a miraculous way. Hard hearts almost always correspond, it's almost found simultaneous with God doing the supernatural. Let me read you a few verses. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the days of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Do you remember the children of Israel? And they're in the wilderness, and they see God working and supplying and providing for them and working miracles in front of their very eyes. And the Bible says it is then they had hard hearts. If you'll remember, when the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines, and God pours out plagues on the Philistines, the heathen Philistine priests tell the Philistines, they said, "Wherefore do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he had wrought wonderfully among him then? Did they not let the people go? Do you remember Pharaoh? Do you remember the 10 plagues? Do you remember all that God did? And God's word says, and they recognized that it was in the midst of God working that hearts were hardened. And again, we come to our text and we're looking at the disciples, and they have seen God do miracle after miracle after miracle. They've lived with Jesus. They've heard his messages. They've seen his miracles. And it is the disciples that God says their hearts are hardened. You see, God's supernatural work in our lives will either inspire our faith or harden our hearts, but it is never neutral. Because there's always a tendency for faithful, fruitful Christians to become so familiar with God's presence and answered prayers and mighty works that they no longer seem miraculous. How is it that someone can see a miracle and see God work? How is it that their hearts can be hardened? How is it that Christians can be hardened? It is that when God is working and when God is answering prayer and he's present, it suddenly becomes familiar. And it suddenly becomes normal. And suddenly God's presence is no longer so special. And we lose the awe of his presence. Somehow we lose the thrill of what God is doing and what God has done, and we just forget that it's God doing it. And if we are going to come into the presence of God, and if we are to know the working of God and not give God the glory, and not praise him, and not give him the glory that he is due, our hearts will be hardened. I think of our own situation. We have seen God do the amazing in our church. We have seen God do the impossible, and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and we said, Lord, this is a miracle. We cannot do this. Lord, we need you to work. We need you to meet us. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and God worked. But if we're not careful, when we look back at the miracle, we can start to explain it away. And we can say, well, yeah, God did help us, but look all that had to be done. And I'm simply saying the past working of God, if God is not given the praise and if God is not given the glory, that itself can harden our hearts. Can I ask you, are you a praiseful Christian? Because the disciples, they saw God work and they refused to praise him. Maybe it's because they didn't think it was all that miraculous. Samuel, we sing the hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, to my heart to sing thy praise. Verse 2 says, Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hitherto thy help I'm come. Do you know what Ebenezer means? It's from the verse in 2 Samuel. And Samuel comes to a place, and he said, I'm going to call this Ebenezer. And he said, this was his phrase. He says, hitherto the Lord hath helped me. This is my Ebenezer. And so I'm simply saying tonight, do you have your Ebenezer? And when you look back at what God has done for you, are you filled with a heart of praise, or are you filled with a heart of rationalization? Are you filled with a heart of explaining away what only God can do? And let's think of the gospel. When we realize, when we understand the transformation that God has done in our lives, if we're not careful, we can take credit for it. And when we come and we look at God's work in our hearts and in our lives, let us be a people of grace who say, to God be all the glory. Because if we don't, our hearts will be hardened. to where not only are we not giving the glory of God for what he has done, but we cannot see what God is doing now. And we're not looking for God to work in the future. That is a hardened heart. Secondly, what is it that causes a hardened heart? I believe it is spiritual independence. It is when we come to the place where we just don't really need God. If you study the context, look earlier in our Mark chapter 6, verse 7, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff, scrip, bread, no bread, no money in their purse. And verse 10, and he said unto them, into what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart, then shake off the dust of your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day, in the day of judgment for them, for that city. Verse 12 and 13, for they went out and preached and that men should repent, and they cast out many devils and anointed oil that they were sick and healed them. And so we look at the disciples in Jesus' ministry, and up to this point, they have been apprentices. They've been around Jesus 24/7. Just whatever needs to be done, they have done. But now they're independent. They've been sent out two by two, and God sends them one final time to preach to the children of Israel, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'm simply saying they are now veterans. They're now experienced. They know what to expect. They know what they can do. They know what they can't do. And if they're not careful, and if we're not careful when we're used by God, we can come to the place where honestly, mostly, we have it. I can do that. I don't need God, and we would never say it. But we come to a place of spiritual independence. I can do this myself. Did you see what I did? Did you see when I was preaching? Did you see the miracle that I did? Jesus wasn't there. I was the one doing it. And I believe they came to a place of spiritual independence. And when we, spiritual independence, independence as a believer, inevitably drifts into spiritual pride. And guess what? God always humbles pride. And so watch what happens. They come back, they meet, and Jesus said, oh, you've worked miracles, you've healed the sick, you've cast out devils, you've preached the gospel, great. Now I want you to pass out the bread. And if we're not careful, and the disciples aren't careful, they might have the idea, Lord, what about all your other disciples? We are the apostles. We are the preachers. We are the ones who are working the miracles. Lord, I'm a little past that. And when God humbles our pride, if we're not tender and teachable and open, our hearts will be hardened. Spiritual independence. Secondly, disillusionment in God's work. So I was thinking, why were the disciples hardened? Jesus has commissioned them. He sent them. He sent them to minister in pairs. And Jesus said, I want you to go and preach to the children of Israel. And so I think the disciples were excited. We are going to go preach. And this is prophesied in Scripture. Jesus will send a prophet. We're going to preach, and the children of Israel are going to repent. The children of Israel, they're going to turn. This is wonderful. I'm going to preach that God is going to empower me, and the people will change. But what do we know looking back on it? The people don't change. Matthew 23, verse 37 says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Romans 10:21. But To Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And if you look at verse 30, the Bible says, And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So the disciples, they've come back from a big, apparently extended ministry where they're working, they're giving their heart and soul, they're doing everything, they're working miracles to preach to the children of Israel. And guess what? Nothing happens. In fact, they're met with staunch resistance and they see little to no results at all. Verse 30, they tell Jesus, this is what we did and this is what we said, but guess what's missing? The story. They don't tell Jesus what happened because nothing happened. And I think we see the disciples not only a little discouraged, but a little frustrated. And they're frustrated. And they're, Lord, we went and we preached and we did your work and nothing happened. This isn't supposed to happen. Lord, these people aren't worth it anymore. We've told them the gospel. We've told them what they need to hear, but they won't hear it. And so Jesus says in verse 31, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. And so they're going. Jesus recognizes there's something off with their spirit. There's something off with their heart. Something needs to change. But then something miraculous begins to happen. Notice verse 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing. And many knew and ran afoot thither out of the cities and outwent them and came together. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Something begins to happen, and it's so exciting. Listen, they've been preaching and nothing happens, but now all of a sudden, people begin to follow them. Crowds begin to follow Jesus, and they follow him into the desert. Exciting things are happened, but the disciples no better. And I think in their mind, this is what I think was going through their minds. Lord, don't you know these people aren't sincere? Don't you know, Lord, that these people won't change? Lord, why would you talk to them? Why would you preach to them again? Why would you work to them another miracle? Lord, these people have rejected you and you have better time. Lord, let's just leave. And so I ask, why were their hearts hardened so they could not see the miracle? They could not appreciate the miracle. The Bible says specifically they did not consider the miracle. I believe their heart was hardened because they didn't think the miracle would make any difference. That's why I think they're hardened. And the hardness of others' hearts created a hardness in their own hearts. Can I tell you, if you are witnessing, if you're engaged in sharing the gospel, you will be tempted to be hardened in gospel work. And when people reject your work, the truth, and people reject it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and you keep giving it, if you're not careful, you're going to let a hardness come into your heart where you have this thought, well, you know, I could speak it again, but it's just not going to make a real difference. I think that's what the disciples thought. Lord, yeah, okay, you can feed 20,000 people, 5,000 men, 20,000 people, but you know what? I don't think it's going to make any difference. These people are hard, and they're never going to change, and so why even try? I think that's their heart. But guess what? Jesus knows better. And you know what? In a way, they're right, because turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is the parallel account of the feeding of the 5,000. And verse 26, John chapter 6 and verse 26, Jesus answered them, This is following, I'll turn there myself here, John chapter 6 and verse 26. And when they had found them on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou thither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. You know what? The disciples were right. The people who were fed were not spiritually interested. And the miracle didn't change their hearts. It didn't change their lives. But you know what did happen? The seed was sown. Because read on in verse number 27, the Bible says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, and for him which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then they said unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So disciples, you're right. They're not interested. You're right. This miracle won't change their hearts. You're right. Another miracle will not see them saved. But you know what it is an opportunity to do? There's another opportunity to sow the word. Another opportunity to spread the gospel. And though I don't see them repent, and though they appear hard, and there doesn't appear to be results, we can't stop. Because the Bible says God's word is powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 28. You probably know the verse. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what? Even though their hearts are hard, God's word can penetrate the hard heart. And so you might be tempted if you're sharing the gospel. Lord, what's the point? Oh, I'm not going to share it this time because they're not going to believe anyway. They're hardened. But God's word is powerful. Have you ever heard of the prophet Jeremiah? Do you know God told Jeremiah before he even sent him, he said, I'm going to send you. You're going to be a prophet. I'm going to give you a message, but the people will reject it. Jeremiah preached and preached and preached, all the while knowing they would reject it. Can you imagine that? And Jesus fed the 5,000 knowing they would reject it. Why? Why? Because the word of God was sown. And once the word of God is sown and it begins to work, the Bible promises, Isaiah 55, for as the snow, the rain and the snow cometh down from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth it bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And so we must believe in the power of God's word. And by the way, if you look at Jeremiah and Jesus, yes, Jeremiah never saw them repent. And the Babylonians came, but what happened after? Because I believe in the Babylonian captivity, you have Daniel, you have Esther, and when they come back, you have Nehemiah, you have Ezra, and I believe that word did not go in vain. Jesus ministered, they reject him, but then he dies, he rises again, and after he rises again, of course we know Pentecost, and the church explodes. It says there were thousands added, and then it just is multiplied. So I'm simply saying, if you're not careful, you'll have a hard heart in the ministry, in the work. And the hardness of others will just create a hardness, and where you just say, you know what, I'm going to stop trying. I'm through with this. But God's word is powerful. Notice, secondly, we've seen what causes, the cause of hardened hearts. Secondly, the consequence of hardened hearts. What does it matter? What happens? What is at stake if we harden our hearts? First of all, spiritual apathy. Look back at our text. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, to buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." You know what the disciples were telling Jesus? They were telling Jesus, "Lord, we've done enough. We've done enough. We've taught them. We've worked miracles. We've taught them again. Lord, you just spent all day teaching them again. Lord, we've done enough. Now send them away. We're finished." But Jesus says, "No. Give ye them to eat. Give more. Lord, what we've done is okay. Lord, our service is okay." And Jesus says, "No, it's not. Give more." Jesus says in verse 37, "And he answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat." And so many times, here's the evidence of a hard heart. If your heart is hardened, you will become a static Christian. You will become a maintaining Christian. And here's the mark of a hardened heart. Here's the mark of a maintaining Christian. I'm okay how I am. I'm okay what I'm doing. I don't need to grow. I don't need to change. Lord, send them away. Lord, what we've done is okay. We're going to pass on. And Jesus said, "No, you must give more. You must give more." And they may answer, "Lord, we've given a lot." Jesus says, "Give more." And I'm simply saying, when the disciples were content with the status quo, Jesus said, "No, you need to grow." Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God." And if we are to have a tender heart, there's this understanding that as long as I'm limited, I've never given enough. As long as I have something to give, I've never given enough. Lord, there needs to be greater sacrifice, greater service, greater surrender to God. I haven't arrived. But a hardened heart says, "Lord, I'm just going to stay here. I'm okay how I am. I'm not going to be taught. I'm not going to be reproved. I'm not going to change. I don't need to change. Lord, what we've done is enough. Here's the solution. Just send them away." And God says, "No, give more." What is the tragedy of hardened hearts? Why can we not allow our hearts to become hardened? It is because we will fall into a place of spiritual apathy. And we will never be what God has for us to be. Secondly, perhaps more seriously, we will fall into a state of spiritual numbness. Look at our text verse 52. "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Did you know, if you harden your heart to God, if you harden your heart, or rather, if you allow your heart to be hardened, you are going to grow to a point where you can't hear God. You can't see what he's doing. You can't feel his presence. And is it because that God is not speaking? Is it because that he is not present? Is it because that he is not working? No, it's because your heart is hard. And so perhaps you may be reading your Bible and you may think, Lord, I'm just not getting out of this. Perhaps you may come to church and you listen to a message and, Lord, you're just not speaking to me. Perhaps you pray and you pray and you pray and, Lord, the prayers just aren't being answered. And you begin to drift and drift and drift away because you can't see God. And the inevitable result of a hardened heart, of allowing our hearts to be hardened, is we can't see God. We don't know God. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. And verse 10. The disciples asked Jesus a hard question, a difficult question, a question I think that many don't understand the answer. Matthew chapter 13, and the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and ye shall not see. And seeing, and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should hear with their ears, and they should understand with their heart, and they should be converted, and I should heal them. And many people, and there's a type of theology which says, you know, God reveals this to the elect, and he hides it from the unelect. But can I say that is a complete misunderstanding of this passage? What this passage is saying is that to whom much is given, much is required. And if you hear God's word and receive God's word, more will be given. But if you hear God's word and you reject God's word, and you harden your heart to what has been revealed to you, God stops. God's not going to speak again. And God's not going to reprove your heart. God puts a stone wall. And if you study, this is not an absolute fact, but I was just reading it, and I had an idea. Look through the gospel records, and what did Jesus start preaching? I would say this. Jesus did not use parables in the beginning of his ministry. Jesus started saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he preached repentance. He preached turn, and they rejected it. And God said, okay, I'll speak to you in parables. And the very real answer is, if we harden our hearts to God's word, God doesn't speak. If we harden our hearts where we don't pray, God doesn't answer. And so many Christians become frustrated and they quit. Or they just give the bare minimum. And you preach to them and you preach to them and you say, listen, change, do this. And they can't hear because their hearts are hardened. But notice lastly, what is the cure for hardened hearts? What is the cure? Look back to Mark 6 in our passage. Mark 6, verse 45 says, And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent them away. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. But about the fourth watch, the night of the night, he cometh and walking on the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they cried. They supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. So Jesus sees their hardened hearts. They don't know their hearts are hard, but they're hard. And he says, I've got to change them. I've got to help them. How does he do that? What is the cure for hardened hearts? How do we change? How are hardened hearts broken up? And I believe it is simply we must see Jesus as he is. You see, there is inevitably in Christian circles the idea of familiarity with Jesus Christ. And truly, Jesus, especially in his first coming, is lowly. He comes riding on a donkey. He's lowly. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. And being made in likeness as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So when we look at Jesus, we see him low, and we see him humble, but that's not all he is. And we're allowed to rub shoulders with him, and they're with him 24/7, and there's a familiarity. And if we're not careful, Jesus becomes our buddy, and he just becomes our friend, and he is our friend, and he is our help, and ever present, ever help in trial. But Jesus comes to them walking on water, and the Bible says when they saw him, they feared him. When they saw him, they feared him, because though he is our friend, he is Almighty God. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Revelation 1:17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am first, I am last. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which is to come. And I'm simply saying that if we are to be broken, if we are to be broken out of our hardened hearts, we must return and see that Jesus Christ is God. He's Lord. He's creator. He's Alpha. He's Omega. He's ever-present. He's omnipotent. And when we see God as he is, our hearts are changed. You see, it is in this context. Notice Mark chapter 6, verse 50. Verse 49, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were trembled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And this is the context. It is here that Peter says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee. That is in Matthew chapter 10. You see, when we see God, as he is, high, holy, and lifted up, and also love and merciful and gracious. First of all, our faith is strengthened. I can trust him because he's God. And secondly, we love him. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee. Lord, I want to be with you. And I believe, lastly, our will is broken. Because when we come into God's presence, it's not, Lord, my will be done. It's, Lord, thy will be done. So I ask you tonight, would you at least consider, do I have a hard heart in some way? And by the way, it doesn't mean that you're living this wicked life. These are the disciples. They're in ministry. It's normal to develop a hardened heart. Would you ask the Lord, God, do I have a hardened heart? Because as I was preparing this message, the Lord spoke to me about a hard heart. Can I tell you tonight, if you have a hard heart, you probably don't know it. The disciples didn't know it. God had to tell them they had a hard heart. And so, when you look at Christ's miracles, when you look at what God has done for you, what's your response? Something I believe that's fascinating is when you look at this miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, there's inevitably 20,000 people, 5,000 men. I'm not sure that everybody knew it was a miracle. What I mean by that is there's 20,000 people, the disciples are going back and forth, and somebody, 20,000 people, has no idea where the bread came from. He just got a piece of bread. And let's just think of two other parables. The marriage at Cana. When Jesus turned the water to wine, did you know not everybody was aware that a miracle had happened? Because the governor said, he knew not whence it was, but the Bible says in parentheses, but the servants knew. So the servants knew, and the disciples knew, but not everybody knew. And then think of also Jesus raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. And there's a whole crowd of people who are rejecting him, and Jesus pushes them out, and he won't let them see it. And he brings his disciples in and the family, and they're the ones that saw Jesus. And I'm just simply saying tonight that you only see the miracle if you're close to Jesus. You only see the miracle if you're close to Jesus and you have a tender heart. Those who God uses and transforms are believers who live close to Jesus with tender hearts. Do you have a tender heart tonight? What's a tender heart? Well, first of all, let's remember what's a hard heart. A hard heart is a heart that's praiseless. They've seen God's work, but they don't appreciate it. A hard heart is a heart that's independent. It doesn't need God. It doesn't really need God. It appreciates God, but it doesn't need God. That's a hard heart. A hard heart is discontent with God's plan. And a hard heart is somebody that's not looking to change. That's a hard heart. And the hard heart is deadly because it cannot hear God's voice. What is the cure for a hard heart? It is to see Jesus as he is. How do I see Jesus as he is? Well, first of all, you need to get real with God. Get right with God. Get transparent with God. Get alone with God. David said, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David prayed, Lord, cleanse me of secret faults. Jeremiah says, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we need to get alone with God, and we need to say, Lord, search me and know me and try my heart. Am I hard? And secondly, we need to draw nigh to him. We need to see Jesus as he is. Well, how do we do that? We read the Word. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 12, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we did perceive him as the glory of the Father. How do you know Jesus? How do you see Jesus in 2018? You read the Bible. It's just that simple. And if you expect to have a strong faith that weathers the hardening, and it only comes from God's Word. So, do I have a hardened heart? God, break my hardened heart. And let us draw near to Jesus, and let us see him as he is. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer.